Hello there, good morning, and welcome to episode 14 of Installing to Disk. Have a nice day.
Yes, we're back with Installing to Disk, and if you missed my voice in the beginning, that's because I've got a sore throat at the moment, so I'm making James do all the talking today.
Yeah, I imagine if we do have any listeners who have listened to previous podcasts, they will have just switched off, knowing that I might be delivering most of the stuff in this one.
Yes, I'm Jordez, as per usual. With me is Nicknameless James. On this episode of the podcast, we have Steam's big picture. We have... What do you have in the rumour room?
More next generation speculation for Dineshon.
In the retro roundup, James has been playing Red Baron. And well, do we have any games of the week this week?
Yes, I'm playing Tony Hawk and Journey.
Well, two games of the week for you there. Well, let's kick things off with the news. I can't do my normal news voice.
The news!
Thank you.
Jordan, are you fond of time travel by any chance?
Well, yeah, I'm quite fond of it.
Because have you noticed that we're now suddenly 2 days ahead of where we should be?
Yes, and my voice seems to have healed itself magically. That's because we've got...
I'm wearing completely different clothes.
That's because we've got breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, since we recorded the rest of the podcast, Nintendo have decided to have a bit of a party and give us more details on the Wii U with a big presentation.
I think after the podcast, we said in our little post-podcast warm down, when we just kind of chat crap for about half an hour or so, then you say to me that I guarantee you Nintendo will say something in the next 2 days. About yeah. Price, because we were speculating, and lo and behold, they did. It proves people listen to us.
What they have said in this conference is we've got a release date now, and it'll be coming out on November the 30th in Europe. We predicted something along those lines. I think I said a bit later for Europe. So that's decent. And for it comes out in America on November the 18th. Which we had predicted.
Yes. And that's one of the few rumours that's turned out to be true.
Yeah, that was part of this podcast, but will now be cut because it's not a rumour anymore.
Oh.
And Japan will get it in December the 9th. I don't know why they get it later, but it's not us for a change, so that's nice.
Does that mean we'll have a fact room this week?
That's what we call the news usually.
The fact box.
Yes. Yeah, great. We've got the... release date, which was one of the two things we were looking for. The other one, though, the price, they've kept quiet on that one. We do know that it will be around £210 in America and £210 in Japan, although using their own currency, obviously.
So it will be about £400 for us.
Yes, my prediction is £250. The reason why I'm a bit anxious about it is because the reason they gave for not telling us the price is that it will be different in different regions. That usually means it'll be €250, but it'll be £250 or more, because we always get screwed over in the UK in these terms. So, oh, and one thing I have not mentioned yet, there's going to be two models of the Wii U. There's going to be the basic one, which is...
is that what it's called?
Yeah, 8 gig.
That's what it says on the box.
Yeah,
the basic one.
It does. That's going to have 8 gig of memory. It will be white, include a gamepad and a HDMI cable. The premium one, which I believe the prices I've been saying are for, although I'm not entirely sure, will be a 32 gig model. Will be in black, have a gamepad, HDMI, a few stands, a sensor bar, the Nintendo Land software, and network premium. Which is a strange little feature where you get 10% of all your purchases on the online store back in terms of points. So it's essentially a loyalty card.
Right.
So...
I think what's concerning me there is the memory. It doesn't sound very big.
32 gig?
Yeah. The launch PlayStation 3 came out with 60 gig. I don't know how they're managing to...
Yeah, well, the discs will be 25 gig. So there's more room than there is for Xbox games. So we may need to install games less. And also, I believe they've got a very fast read speed. I think it's 25 times. So there'll be less need to install than other consoles. And finally, let's just have a look at the games. There's only going to be 9 games on release, like on the actual release date of November the 30th. And these are...
Just to let you know, I don't know what any of these are, so...
Yes, there's going to be FIFA 13, which you're looking forward to.
Yes.
Mass Effect 3.
Yes.
New Super Mario Bros. U. I recently was very harsh about New Super Mario Bros. 2, complaining about its lack of innovation and everything.
But then you got a check from Nintendo and everything changed.
I wish. New Super Mario Bros. U, it does look to have a load of cool little innovations, so I'm looking forward to it. I may be crushed by disappointment, but who knows. Rayman Legends, another one that's coming out for November 30th. Anyone who's been listening to this podcast before knows that Rayman Origins was my game of the year last year, and I've been talking about it non-stop ever since. It's looking good, but I'm a bit concerned how it was focusing on the multiplayer aspect a lot and how people can use the gamepad to assist people on the controls. So how that will affect single player, I'm a bit anxious of. And Zombie U is going to be another launch title. I know that you said that was one that you thought was looking pretty good.
Yeah, just the whole premise of it sounds quite interesting.
Yes.
I'm not really one for zombies, but it sounds good.
Yeah. And we and Nintendo are thinking the same, because there's going to be a Wii U bundle with the software bundled in.
Does that show kind of how this... The Wii U is a bit more grown up than the Wii, that they're bundling it with this violent zombie game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You would not... I mean, apart from, like, Real Steel and No More Heroes and Mad World, I don't think there was, like, any 18 games on the Wii. Manhunter 2, actually, as well. So, showing this straight from the off, it does show how it's intended.
We're dealing with something a lot more mature than before.
Yes, and that's backed up by possibly the most shocking news of the day. Bayonetta 2 is going to be on the Wii U, and not just that, it's not going to be on anything else. It's going to be published by Nintendo and an exclusive to the console. Nobody saw that one coming. I refuse to believe anyone guessed that would happen.
I think the existence of Watch Dogs was more obvious than Bayonetta 2 being a Wii U exclusive.
It's completely absurd. I mean, it does show that what you were saying, more focused toward the mature and looking towards the hardcore audience, because nobody outside of the hardcore played Bayonetta.
I was just thinking, did it sell well? I don't ever recall it being overly popular.
It was critically acclaimed but poorly received.
Right.
So, like I said, Wii U taking that on. And finally, just going back to the launch day games, 3 of the 9 are actually downloadable games. Trine 2, Tokitori 2, and Nano Assault Neo. But, yeah, from a day one perspective, not great. But there are going to be a lot more games released in what they've dubbed the launch window, which is until January 2013.
Right.
So these are games like 007 Legends, Aliens, Colonial Marines, Assassin's Creed 3, Batman, Arkham City.
Just in case I momentarily lapsed out during that, did you say Pikmin at all? Is that got a date, or is that...
That's not got a date yet.
Okay.
So that'll probably be coming out summer next year, possibly November. The big ones, probably Black Ops 2 will be in the launch window, Game & Warrior... Lego City Undercover, which we were both very excited for after E3. Skylanders Giants. I'm not sure if that's an exclusive, but I don't think it is.
I think it's on everything.
But if they, that's one they should be going for. So, yes. Also, The Wonderful 101. It's not a launch title, but it's looking very nice from the same makers of Bayonetta 2. So go
is
check
it about
that
Dalmatians?
One out. No, it's about superheroes who join together to make one giant superhero.
Power yeah. Rangers.
Precisely.
So it's a cross between Power Rangers and 101 Dalmatians?
Pretty much. That's what it's going to say on the box.
Wow. Will it quote me in saying that?
I'll make sure. I'll send a few emails to Platinum Games and Nintendo to make sure that's the case.
Nice.
But just as an overview of the entire little conference launch type thing, without the price point, it's not done enough for me. With so few launch day titles, I can't just put a pre-order down right now. Hopefully in the next week we'll start getting news of the actual price, although I've been saying this for the past bloody year. If they hit a 250 with a Zombie U bundle, I will buy it. If not, then I can't see myself doing it. They've just not given me enough. What are your views on this?
Well, I still stand by what I've said in the past few episodes. I still think around $320 for a Wii U with a gamepad, an extra gamepad as well, and perhaps a couple of games. I can see that as being a bundle.
Well, if you change that the second gamepad for like the professional controller, the Gamepad Pro, I think they call it, then that would definitely be a decent bundle, and I think I would pick that up. If they do that, I will happily do so.
So, but yeah, launch titles. Bayonetta's surprising, but it's not surprising enough to make me think, wow, I need this. It's more kind of, oh, that's a bit peculiar. Yeah,
that's not a launch title, by the way. That's just
exclusive. I was expecting something like F-Zero or something like that. I don't know why. I just thought there'd be some real big kick to it.
Yeah, I think Nintendo Land's the one they're trying to push because it's got all these mini-games from each series. Captain Falcon's got his own mini-game in there, so that's about as close as you're getting.
I'm still undecided.
So, yes, lackluster, I think, the words we're looking for. So, we'll return now to our regularly scheduled podcast and enjoy my voice being even more broken than it is now.
Prepare to go back in time.
The portable Android gaming device PlayMG will come preloaded with EA Mobile games, NBA Jam, and Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. We spoke about this last podcast, and I basically said that it's nothing to get excited about, but apparently EA disagree with me. So I kind of take that as a good sign because EA's business practices are terrible usually, so that means I'm right.
Which Need for Speed is it?
Hot Pursuit, presumably the newer one. Has the new one come out?
I don't think so.
I stopped caring about that franchise.
Next month? It's when it gets to the point where you've got multiple games with the same name that things start getting really confusing. This could be the Hot Pursuit that was out about 13 years ago, for all we know.
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently, EA...
I wish this was a video podcast, because some of the faces you're pulling...
I'm dying here, so I'm just going to move on to the next news story. And finally, Steam have launched Big Picture, a new mode for the service designed to be used with big-screen TVs. Basically, it's just it changes all the menu settings and stuff, so... And it's just made Steam games more... It's basically turning Steam into a console.
I don't get why, though. Because most people... Let's assume that most people using Steam have decent computers. Mm-hmm. These computers are going to be outputting at like 1020p high definition anyway, which TVs do. Mm-hmm. So I can't really see, other than it being a bit bigger, what's the point in redoing... So imagine the Steam interface more like the kind of Xbox dashboard. Is that what we're talking about?
Almost. But you can see like consoles are trying to be more media centers, whereas PCs are trying to be more TVs in a sense. So it's just this homogenization. Everyone's going towards a middle ground. You look at PS3 and Xbox, they're trying to make those the center of your living room. And now PCs are doing the same thing. If we see this push more towards in the next generation as well,
the next generation consoles are just going to be weak PCs. And I'm moving more and more every day towards PC gaming because it like back in the day, consoles used to be, you buy a disc, you put it in, job done. It's easy. You didn't need to like install patches. You didn't need to go onto some obscure forum and spend 4 hours changing your BIOS on your computer.
And then making a Uplay account.
Yeah.
Which gets hacked now, the following week.
Now, the one thing that consoles had over PC gaming, that the ease, it's not there anymore. You have to spend 40 minutes downloading a patch to play Uncharted 2 or something. And then you've got to spend another hour installing it.
It is a good one. I played Little Big Planet 2 for the first time last week, I think it was, on this console I've got. I've played it before on Mr. PlayStation the 3rd, who's sadly no longer with us. But on this one, was it 15 updates? And the two biggest ones were about 600 meg each.
Little Big Planet is an absolute fiend for it. Every time I play that game, I have to update about 4 times.
It looks no different. I don't know what they're adding.
Yeah, I don't understand. I may not buy the next generation of consoles. If it goes the way it is, I don't see what's going to draw me into buying a PS4 instead of just spending that money upgrading my PC. I mean, like the Wii U, is that I'm excited for that because it's got a different interface, it's got something different. I mean, I understand that it's probably going to have the same problems that the PS3 and Xbox do at the moment, that I'm going to have to spend all my time updating consoles and stuff, but at least it's offering me something different. And Nintendo as well, they have great first party support, which you can't get on PC.
Should we move on?
So, just don't mind me, I'm just in the corner.
Room, room. Some of these faces that he's pulling. Grimace corner
my
over there.
My throat hurts.
Right, while John's dying, in the rumour room, again, another short one this week. Mentioned Valve a minute ago, and apparently EA are looking to purchase them. Valve recently said that they are moving into hardware development, and EA want to take a bite of that, apparently.
No, I don't see that happening. I could see them selling to... If EA bought Valve, every single person at that company would leave.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. It's like if it was to be bought, you'd know that it's all EA's side doing all of it. I can't see Valve wanting to be bought by anyone and just turning down offers. If they were to buy it, do you think Origin would be one of the main reasons for wanting to do it?
Well, Steam has... It basically owns the digital distribution market on the PC. I think that in itself is reason enough. I think EA expected to be able to take a lot of the market with Origin, but have failed. So therefore they think, well, if you can't beat them, steal them.
Here's a bleak outlook for you. Imagine if they buy them, close down Steam, keep in Origin, and then they get bought by Ubisoft somehow, and then Uplay is the global game download center.
Well, I would stop playing video games altogether. But incidentally, since we're talking about Ubisoft, have you seen they've stopped with the always on DRM? So they're getting better.
They're learning.
They're still terrible.
Bless them.
But yeah, that's not happening. No, I refuse to believe it. If I deny it, then it can't happen. So that's just science.
It is. That's science. We've established this kind of science before. It's Jordan's law. The Xbox, well, the next Xbox, otherwise known as the Nigel around these parts.
We should call it the next box. Why are we not doing that?
Why have we not thought of that already? You're a genius. Next box.
Can't believe that.
We've been calling it the Nigel for about 6 months, and the next box is apparently facing processor shortages. The processor is called the Oben, and they have, well, what you'd expect from early Xboxes, a very worryingly low success rate with the processors, to the extent where all the metaphors I've heard for people describing this success rate have said, like, we're talking single-digit percentages of them working.
And that's straight off the bat. Who knows how quickly these would break?
Exactly. Will that one processor last 10 years? Probably
not. I remember the days when you just couldn't break consoles. I mean, there's still Nintendo Entertainment Systems and Super Nintendos and Mega Drives all kicking about. perfect working condition. I have my PS3 for 4 years. Boom, it's dead. My new one's not going to last me for as long as I want.
I know it's still a bit like after what you were saying with the Nintendos and whatnot, but my PlayStation 2, it's about 10, 11 years old. It's been in my wardrobe for ages. I've dropped it twice, just given it to my little brother. Works fine. Playing games on it, perfect. Needed a new controller, but that's it. That's the rumour room.
That's the rumour room. Sweet, let's move on to our other hours in the retro wrap. Let's try that one again.
The retro roundup.
Last podcast, I believe I tasked you with playing Red Baron for the PC.
Yep.
You didn't play, did you?
I tried, Jordan. I tried, but my PC and my laptop were having none of it. I tried finding DOSBox, but the website for the DOS emulator was never online when I went on it. So I thought, okay, let's be grown up. I need to find an alternative game, because as good as Red Baron looks, I can't play it at the moment. So I thought, what's similar to Red Baron? So I played on the NES Banana Prince.
What? Banana Prince? How did you even find out about a game called Banana Prince? Did you do a Google search for the most stupid things you can think of?
No. It's Banana Prince, and it was all in German, so I kind of understood it a bit. I could speak a bit of German, so as it was going through, I was reading it like, it's a nice day today, Prince. I don't know where the bananas came into it. Essentially a Mario clone, but with a dagger.
With where?
And
with a dagger?
Yeah, you can stab stuff and jump on enemies. The jumping's the most horrible, inexact jumping I've ever come across in a game. And I think it was another game that you gave me a while back. I can't remember what it was, but I found out that by repeatedly hitting jump and attack, you could complete the levels dead easy.
I think this was another game that you decided to go play on your own. It wasn't your night.
Well, at least there's consistency there.
Yeah.
I found out that after watching a video, and I got stuck in Banana Prince trying to find help to get past this one jumping bit, which I couldn't do, that if you like hold down crouch, move, and stab at the same time and just keep hitting those, your character just gets really low to the floor, repeatedly stabs, and moves at about 30 miles an hour, and they essentially become this unstoppable tank.
Or is it like a power slide stab?
Yeah, it just defeats everything in the game. So, not the best thing ever, except one thing I did like was if you know when you die and you repeat and you get continue, the continue thing would, like, you'd never have to start a level again, regardless if you died completely and the whole thing was over. It would always drop you back at, like, the last autosave, which I couldn't really see the point of the continue if it's always going to drop you there.
It sounds like a modern game in that respect.
Yes, I think it honestly paved the way for a lot of modern games. I can see elements of Killzone in there, and especially things like Mod Nation Racers. Banana Prince, it's an alright game, actually.
So, I'm guessing you're going to give it your Game of the Year again?
Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to give it a thumbs up just because I found it really forgiving, the way that it would drop me where I last died instead of making me start again. And
so your criteria for this is thumbs up if it's easy.
Well, you remember I gave E.T. a thumbs up?
Yeah, for having a menu.
The menu is the most simple thing I've ever come across in a game, and therefore I like it. It's good.
Fine, whatever. Well, if you like easy games, you're probably not going to like this one, because you're going to be playing Super Swiv, or Super S-W-I-V.
Which Swiv?
Yeah, it's some, like, Super Weapons Invention Force. I don't know. I assume it's an abbreviation. It was released as Firepower 2000 in America, and Mega Swiv on the Mega Drive. It was released in 1993 for the SNES and 94 for Mega Drive. And it's a top-down shooter where you can be either a tank or a helicopter. Yeah, there's something weird. I can't remember what it is precisely, but to select the helicopter, you have to like hold select on the start screen. So if you want to change to the helicopter, you're going to have to look that up.
You're telling me that in advance now before next week. Because I sit there complaining, I can't figure out how to get the helicopter, stupid game.
Well, when you played Wild Guns, you were like, oh, I kept on throwing a lasso instead of shooting. And that was because...
That's because it's the same bloody button.
It's holding it down. Just simple stuff, kid.
That's like on Killzone, having circle to shoot and then hold down circle to throw a grenade. What's the point?
So, yes... Super Swift, Mega Swift, Firepower 2000, take your pick.
Swift.
I don't know if there's any particular differences between the Super Swift and Mega Swift, so...
Swiver me timbers?
Yes.
That was dreadful.
So, yeah, I don't have the voice to do good links today, so game of the week, let's move on.
All right.
I've got no games this week, It's all on you. I did play Portal, but that took me an hour and a half to finish, so I don't really have anything interesting to say on that right now. I've already spoke about it on previous podcast episodes.
Okay.
So what have you been playing?
I have been playing Tony Hawk. This is actually the first new game that I've played in a while, as in it's like released. I think I bought it the day after it was released, which is unusual since I usually talk about games that were out about 4 years ago. But... Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD. This is the remake, reboot, for whatever you want to call it, for the, I think it's on Xbox and PS3.
It is.
In the last podcast, I think it was, you were talking about Tomb Raider and Silent Hill, I think it was, and how remade versions of them don't quite have that same special X factor about them that the old games did.
Yeah, sometimes I was talking about how sometimes limitations do in fact make games better, like the fog in Silent Hill made things feel a lot more claustrophobic, whereas they took it out in the remake. Well, they didn't take it out, they expanded your draw distance.
Well, to twist that to how I need it to be for my thing now, they've changed a few things, as you'd imagine. The engine, it's now running on the Unreal Engine.
Okay.
So it plays very similar to how it did before, but wall riding and a few other grinds and stuff are a bit more difficult to execute. I should know, I'm a professional skateboarder. A lot of the old levels are there. There's a few new ones, which they're nicely done. They fit in with it all. Finally, I can't remember this being in the original, but there's more of a kind of, and I use this term very loosely, a more RPG kind of approach, in that your skater that you pick at the beginning, everyone's going to pick Tony Hawk. He's the first one. He's got the best stats.
Naturally.
You buy the extra stats as you go through and end up making this kind of superhuman that can jump about 40 feet. But each skater has the kind of career lock to them. So I can't unlock, say, the school level and choose to play as Rodney Mullen. To unlock the school as Rodney Mullen. So I've completed the game as Tony Hawk, but I can't play one of the levels with this random woman who's apparently a skater I've never heard of.
That's just unnecessary.
Yeah. And the only thing I can see them doing that for is there's like one trophy where you have to be Rodney Mullen at the school.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they've added it just to kind of pad it out a bit.
No, I think that may have been in the original, because I remember PlayStation 1 games used to do that all the time. Now we've kind of gone to a stage where we're just like, just make it easy for everyone and have like a cumulative career. So it would not surprise me if that's in the original, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I haven't played it for about 13 years.
Me neither.
So all in all, it's a good game, but if you haven't played the original, I can't really see you getting much from it. There was a lot of times while skating around that I was remembering little bits here and there. I was thinking, oh, I remember when if I grind across this propeller, then the door will open into the wind tunnel. And just little bits get coming back to me. And I was thinking, if I was playing this for the first time, I wouldn't... It's not substantial enough for someone who's a first-time player of the franchise. You need to have some nostalgic view of it. And it's quite expensive as well for what it is.
Oh, is it £15, is it?
I think it is. I bought Journey at the same time, so I can't remember what... I think it was about... It's over a tenner, I know that much.
Yeah.
And considering you start downloading it and the file size is about 300 megabytes. So it's not too big. You can probably bash through it in a while. There's lots of different game modes to keep you occupied if you're a fan of Tony Hawk. If you've never played the original Pro Skater games, you probably won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So cool. If you've played the old games, get it. If you haven't, don't. And... yeah, played Journey, been meaning to play for a long time. Very nice, really beautiful. The visuals, it looks stunning. There's certain points through the game that just really stand out. Just for the most part, you're kind of jumping around and exploring, but there's a couple of sections where it goes into almost a kind of side-scrolling kind of thing, still within the 3D. And you've got the setting sun behind this kind of sunken city with all these dunes around it, and the sun's coming through, and the sand is almost like a kind of glitter quality to it. And so all that light bounce, it looks absolutely stunning. The music evolves as the game goes on as well, so it's always just perfect.
Yeah.
Story, well, I guess you take what you want from it.
Well, something I'd like to pick up on, because I've not got round to playing the game, but it's just always been on like the edge of my radar. But I saw a video of it on Extra Credits. It's about the hero's journey, and they were talking about how it was like possibly the best non-verbal story representation of the hero's journey that they've seen in video games. So you should go check out that video. It's Extra Credits. I think it's called The Hero's Journey Part 1, Part 2.
Is that on The Escapist?
It used to be. It's now on Penny Arcade TV. So go check that out.
Yep, so Journey, amazing. And something as well, it's very, very simple. I've got a 7-year-old brother. And whenever I play games with him, even if it says 3+ on the box, there'll be a point where he asks, can you get me past this bit? Can you do this bit? Can you do this bit? Where do I go? I don't like this bit.
It's like you with classic games.
Like me with classic games. And I was working on my computer, put Journey on for him, gave him the controller, expecting to look back like 20 minutes later and see him stuck against an invisible wall. But he completed the entire game on his own. I think that shows just how well designed it is.
Yeah.
So if you haven't played and you've got a PlayStation, you need to get it. The whole kind of, I can never say this, anonymity of the online is cool to begin with. But when you've played, you've completed the story a couple of times and you just want to play it with a friend, you can't. And that's my main problem with it. I know it's the kind of whole experience and whatnot, but I just like to be able to play with someone.
But I like the way that it's that game company, isn't it? Omaker. I like the way they've had a vision and they've stuck to it, and it fits in with the overall, from what I've heard of the game as a whole.
Yeah.
Where it's all about this one. It fits in with everything, so I like it for that reason. I'm still yet to play though, so I can't really comment on it as much as I'd like.
I would like the ability to play with other people who I know, but it would probably compromise the whole idea. Go and get it. It's great.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get some free time next week and I'll be able to bring my views next time around. I've still got Spec Ops The Line to play though, so whether I will...
I've heard good stuff about that.
I'm looking forward to it, I'm not going to lie. But yes, that was, James's Games of the Week this week. It It's been a James-centric episode, thanks to my voice. So let's just round things off with what's been going on over at the reticule. We have some first views of F1 2012. The demo's recently been released, and 2012 is good. The new one. I'd like to point that out, because the dating system is opposite.
No, the dating system works with Formula One. It does.
I need to point out that it is opposite to every other game out there.
Because they all get it wrong, but F1 gets it right.
Yes. There's a new indie bundle on the way. Not from Humble, but a new company set up to do indie bundles, so go check that out. And we've been looking at the War of the Roses beta. As a Yorkshireman myself, I've been looking very excitedly towards this one.
Get to represent Huddersfield.
You're getting better with your accent, I've got to give you that. and we've also been giving out a load of free games on Twitter and on Facebook, so Resonance and War of the Roses beta keys as well. I'm not sure if we're still giving out Resonance, if those two are being still given out, because I don't know what, I've not checked, to be honest.
So if you've won them, well done, or if you're gonna win them, good luck, I guess.
Yeah.
You might or might not win.
So go check out at The Reticule on Twitter, or just search for The Reticule on Facebook to find out about more competitions and whether the ones we're talking about are still running. Probably should have checked that before.
You can always join the Reticule Steam group as well.
Yes. So that's all we've got time for. I've been Jordez. Well, I've been trying to be, but my voice has not let me. With me has been Nicknameless James. Any last words?
Huzzah!
And I will try and go with goodbye.